I want you to turn with me this morning back to the book of Romans. We began these lessons, the kingdom of God. We're following the thing right through. Monday, we brought here from this book of Romans, chapter 8, we talked about the kingdom of God and what it is. Showing that the kingdom of God is in you by the Holy Ghost, and that wherever you see that kingdom in control, the Holy Ghost in control, you do see the kingdom of God. And where he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he was simply saying to seek the control of the Holy Ghost over your life. Not only to be filled with the Holy Ghost, but to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And if you can come to that place, everything else, God said, would be added to you. Yesterday, we carried that further in demonstrating the ability of God in the believer. The ability of the God in the believer. The Holy Ghost in us gives us the ability to live. It is that ability to love, to believe God, all of it in the Holy Ghost. We carry on today with part two of that same thought, God's ability in the believer. Here in Romans 8, verse 2, for the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. In Philippians, I want to read this word from God. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. In part 1, the message yesterday, that you can get the tape in the back, dealing with this thought of God's ability in us, we showed how that the ability to live with God is God in us. Nobody can live for God except God himself. And it is as this Holy Ghost is allowed to live through us, project Christ through us, can we live like he wants us to live. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts and the desires of the flesh. That's the only way that you're going to overcome what you are. Now, we demonstrated from the Bible that the Holy Ghost brings in us all things. Jesus said, if you successfully seek the kingdom of God, all things will be added to you. Everything God is and has is in the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is God. And so, our struggle is not for faith, but to walk in the Spirit. Our struggle is not for love, but to walk in the Spirit, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by what? The Holy Ghost. So as I walk in the Holy Ghost, I love as God loves, I believe as God believes, I walk as God loves, my emotions will be the emotions of God, and if I walk in the Spirit, the will that wills in God will will in me. That's the ability of God in the believer. I want to carry that further, much further today, in this thought that the Holy Ghost in the believer, as we've just seen, and this is the whole key to it, is that Paul said it was the Spirit of life. That the Holy Ghost in us is the life of God in us. The life of God to be lived through me. So that I can say with Paul in Galatians 2:20, not I, but Christ. This is what the Bible means when it says in Hebrews 6, let us go on to perfection. He said, not laying again the foundation of repentance of dead works or baptism. This we'll do if God permits. Simply saying that we're going to continue to get people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in water and the Holy Ghost. But he says to you that have come to know God, don't continue to be backsliding. Have to start all over again. Go on to perfection. Having received the Holy Ghost, go on to a walk in the Spirit of God where it can be said of you as it was of Paul, for me to live is Christ. That's perfection. That's what God wants out of us. Now, this life of God in us, not only is it the emotions, the will, the nature, the faith, the love of God, but it is a mind of God in the believer. I can demonstrate that from the Bible. The Bible says, who knoweth the things of God save the Spirit of God? Yea, you have the mind of God. How do you know? With the mind. How do you know the things of God? By the Holy Ghost, which is the mind of God in every believer that's filled with the Holy Ghost. This Holy Spirit in you is God's mind in you, and to be led by the Spirit is simply to come to a place that I think the thoughts of God. I think the thoughts of God. Follow those thoughts. I'm led by the Spirit of God. Now, to be led by the Spirit of God, then, is to allow this mind to be my mind. In Philippians 2 and 5, Paul writing to a church, he says to them, let this mind be in you, that as also was in Christ. Now, he's not saying to that Philippian church, be filled with the Holy Ghost. They are filled with the Holy Ghost. The emphasis of that scripture is let. The little word let. Let this mind be in you. For every believer born of God, every one of us filled with the Holy Ghost, born of the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost, in us is two people. There's the old and there's the new. God gives us this over and over again, that in every one of us sitting here this morning, been born again, there's an old man, there's a new man. There's a mind of man, there's a mind of God. And so God is saying, you have to decide which is going to be the mind. You let the Holy Ghost be your mind. You have to decide that. You can walk in the flesh if you want to walk in the flesh. But the Bible says to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To live in your own mind is death. But to live in the mind of the Holy Ghost is life and peace. The Bible says that there's a way, religiously, that seems right to man. But the end of that way is death. D-E-A-T-H. There's a lot of religion around trying to tell you how to get to God. Amen. Born of man. But he said the end of that is death. But the Bible said there is a path in the book of Job that the vulture's eye cannot see. You know what a vulture is? That's a buzzard. Feeds off of death. Always feeding off of death. Pouncing on that which is dead. What he's talking about? The carnal mind. There is a path to God that the carnal mind cannot see. And so he's saying, let God's mind be your mind, and you'll see the path to God, the path to victory, the path to deliverance is all in the ability to think the thoughts of God. Now, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. It takes a conscious act of my will to allow this mind to be my mind. Now, I want to say to you, then, from the natural world to the spiritual world is a transition that only God can make. But yet the same laws govern in this world that govern in the spiritual world. And the law of the spiritual world is the mind is the seat of all ability. Isn't that right? All of the ability of the human is in the mind. Your ability to get here today was because you got a mind. You drove that car over here, your brain told your foot when to hit the brake or to hit the foot feed, when to turn the signal left to right, when to stop or start, what direction to go, what streets to find. If you lose your mind, somebody will have to take you home because your ability to get here was in your mind. Amen. It is the ability of the human to stand here, to talk, to function. All comes out of the brain. It's the brain that tells my hand how to hold this microphone. It's the brain that tells all of what words that I'm to speak here today. It is the mind. The ability is in the mind. Well, the same thing holds true in the spiritual world. The ability of the church will be determined solely on the grounds of what mind that church operates in. So prayer, then, if we understand this to be a truth of God, takes on an entirely different situation. It isn't that I just come down, go to screaming at God, telling God what I want Him to do, but I wait before God until I can think the thoughts of God. And if I can think the thoughts of God, I can have the ability of God to do the works of God Himself. But I must have His mind to have His ability. Just like my ability in this world is governed entirely by my intellect. There's a lot of people with a lot more ability than me because they got a better mind than I've got. Amen. Isn't that right? You meet a retarded person and you are much superior to that person simply because of your mind. They may have a well-developed body. They may have everything else that goes with it, but they don't have the mind. And they're limited because that is the seat of all ability. To the degree that the church lets the mind of God work in her, that church has the ability of God. It's a marvelous thing when we begin to see that when God gave us the Holy Ghost, He didn't give it to us just to jump pews and run around the tent. No, a holler. He gave it to us that mind is in us as the ability of God. And I must understand that every thought that comes in my mind is in God. There's a lot of people believe that. That's the reason there's so much foolishness in religion. I must wait until God speaks to me. And when God speaks to me, when I have His thought out of His Word or however, then with that thought comes the ability, because I'll demonstrate to you in the lesson tomorrow that the only power of the Holy Ghost in you is your ability to be led by Him. Just being in you doesn't make any power, but it is your ability to be led by Him is the seat of all power of the Holy Ghost. Marvelous truth when we begin to get a hold of it. You see, if we can think that thought, then with it comes that ability. Joshua, he's got trouble. He's got the enemy defeated. He's broke the back of the enemy. He's fought him to a standstill. He's disorganized. Now he knows that all he needs to do is close in on him, and he can utterly defeat the enemy. But night's coming. Now the problem here is, if that enemy is able to regroup, reorganize under the cover of night, then tomorrow he's going to have to fight a well-organized enemy again. And all of the warfare today, all the men that died today, will have died for nothing. Isn't that right? My old dad, he wasn't a Christian until just before he died, but he taught me that. He taught me all of my life. He said, "Now, boy, don't you start no trouble, but don't run from no trouble. You just know this. There'll be trouble, and if trouble's going to come, you just know what to do about it." He said, "Look like he's going to have any trouble. You watch his eyes. Watch his eyes. Those eyes are shifting." He said, "He's afraid of you. But if he ever locked in on you," he said, "hit him. And when you hit him, bite him, kick him, do whatever you have to. Just don't let him up." Amen. "Till it's all over." Well, I don't do that kind of fighting no more. But I'll tell you what, I learned about the devil. If you ever get him off balance, don't let him up. Amen. Oh, don't let him up, folks. Push him on. Joshua said, "I've got him on the run now. If I just had a little more time." And he's been in a battle a long time. There's such a thing as battle fatigue, you know. And while he's walking, wondering what to do, the night coming down, knowing that he's going to have to disengage from the enemy till the morning, and then he's going to have to face an organized enemy again, as he walked up and down, a thought, I don't believe he heard any kind of a voice, I believe a thought came to him that said, "Why don't you stop the sun?" Let me tell you something. No intelligent human being can think that intelligently. You may be silly and think it, but nobody can think about stopping that sun. It's 93 million miles away. It's a million miles in diameter. It's moving at thousands of miles across that universe. Not only that, there's a million, a billion other planets up there moving with it. If you stop one of them, you got to stop them all. It'd be a wreck out there. And ain't nobody can think that in his own mind. That thought struck him in his heart. "Why don't you stop the sun?" I believe the first thing he said, "I've been in war too long. I'm cracking up. I mean, my nerves are giving away from me. Who would ever think about stopping the sun? Oh, but listen, it held on. I said it held on. That's he's thinking the thought of God Almighty. Amen. And he rose up and commanded that sun to stand still there and the moon there, and a world stopped while a man won a victory for God. What are you saying? I'm saying that if you and I walk close enough to God, wait before God, that the Holy Ghost can give us God's thoughts, we can defeat the enemy on every course. Because that's his mind. And with that mind comes the ability. You can get out there. You can get out there and confess that sun's going to stop till you fall over dead. It'll just keep going. It'll just keep going. But if the Holy Ghost ever gives you that thought, it'll stop when you speak. Amen. I said it'll stop when you speak. We're talking about God's mind in his church. That church is defeated because it lays awake at night trying to scheme up what to do. But God knows what to do. And if we wait before God Almighty until God thinks in us by his Holy Spirit, then the results of that will be a total victory. I sold $200,000 worth of bonds when we bought our television equipment. The payment on those bonds came due the 1st of October and the 1st of April every year. And we came up 4 years ago, I believe it was, had $38,000 worth of those bonds due on October the 1st. We always begin a month of fast and prayer through the month of October. That's a month of fast and prayer the church has been for a long time. I came up the last day of September, which was a Thursday, owing $38,000 in the morning on a Friday. I like 35 cents having a quarter. I mean, I don't have no money. And here's $38,000 worth of bonds. People bought those bonds in good faith. They gave me their savings and put them into those bonds to help me in the work of God. Now, I don't have the money to give back to them. They're going to be due tomorrow. I don't have the money. I began that fast a day early. I began on the last day of September. And I sought God. I sought God. Nothing happened. Friday came. But God kept everybody away from that bank. Nobody took his bonds to the bank when the bank closed on a Friday. When I looked and it's 5 o'clock, I thought, well, I've got a weekend here to believe for something. I fasted the whole weekend. I prayed. I pled with God. But come Monday morning, I still don't have no money. And there's $38,000 floating around out there that's going to come to the door of that bank. I prayed, I fasted all day Monday. God was gracious, kept them away from the bank again. Usually folks got something to do, they're there to pick it up, but they weren't there. And everybody was praying and fasting in the church. I stayed there all day Monday. Then Monday night, everybody had left about 1 o'clock. I'd prayed under every pew, prayed at the altar, on the platform. I'd screamed at God, kill them hoarse. And about 1 o'clock, tired, seemingly defeated, sitting in the back of the church all alone, knowing that 8 hours from now that bank's going to open and there are going to be folks there with them bonds and no money to pay. Got quiet and give out, nothing else to say. I finally got quiet enough that he could talk a while. And sitting on that floor in the back of that church alone at 1 o'clock in the morning, something inside of me said, there's somebody somewhere I can talk to. I just lifted up my hands and I prayed that prayer. I said, Lord, there's somebody somewhere you can talk to. I'm talking about God's ability being in our ability to think his thoughts. I said, oh, God, there's somebody you can talk to. And a great peace came over me. I got up, went home, took a shower, went to bed. Got to bed a little after 2. Woke up a little after 4. That peace is all gone. And that awful disturbed feeling come over me again. A lot of these boys that say all you got to do is say it's done would have said that I'm in bad trouble letting that come back. I didn't let it come back. It just come back. Amen. It just showed up. And I got up. My wife said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going back to that church. I was back down there about 4:30. I prayed. I done forgot about that thought I had. Amen. But God can talk to somebody. I mean, the devil's a torment in my mind. Long about 7:30, I'm tired. I knelt at the altar being here and with my head down. If I looked up, I'd be looking out at the audience. And I was kneeling there at 7:30, so weary, knowing that today somebody's going to come to that bank. All of a sudden, I was aware somebody had knelt down in front of me. And I looked up, and there's a woman looking at me right now. I've never seen that woman before. I said, good morning. Scared me first. Good morning. She said, good morning. I've come to help you. I said, I do need help. Now, we're on television an hour and a half every Sunday there at home and on radio every day, Monday through a Friday. A lot of people are blessed by it. We don't ask for no money there. They come by, give $10, sometimes $100. Say, you bless me. I want to help you. Amen. I thought she's one of them on the way to work. Maybe got $10, maybe even $100. I said, ma'am, we need help. We appreciate you coming by. She said, well, where are we going to do the business at? I said, well, the secretary will be here at 8 o'clock. And if you just wait till then, you can go in there. Not on your life, she said. He woke me up at 1 o'clock and told me to give it to you. Oh, let me tell you, I'm done coming alive now. I said, yes, ma'am, be all right here on this altar. She laid $43,000 cash on that altar. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. You know how it happened? I thought his thoughts. Now, you can say that all you want to say. You can say somebody you can talk to. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost lodged that in my heart, I had enough faith to pray it. He woke her up, shook her up, and said, you got that money, wondering what to do with it. I want you to take it over and get the man you've been watching on television. I'd never saw her in my life. She had never met me personally. But God talked to her because I thought his thought at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm telling you, the ability of God in the church is our ability to think the thoughts of God. Let that mind work in us. You know, the psychologist has learned this truth, that if a man can conceive it, a man can do it. Isn't that right? They know it. It's impossible for a man to think a thing without some man not being able to do it. Everything you see here today, everything in your home was once just a thought. That car you rode in was once just a dream, a thought in the imagination of man. Man creates from his imagination. That's reading the world's in trouble when that imagination is evil like it is today. When those antediluvians, when it came a time that the imagination was continually evil, they created a world out of that imagination that God had to wreck. Today, the homosexuality, the pornography, the child abuse, all of it is a product of an imagination that is evil continually, and it's going to bring the judgment of God. But everything, this PA system, all that paraphernalia that goes with it, was once just a thought. But because a man could think it, man did it. The ability, if he can conceive it, he can do it. That color television in your home that brings those color pictures in there was once just a thought. But because some man thought it, another man built it. It just works that way. The ability is in the mind. You know, I really didn't think I'd ever see Mars till the rapture. I thought on the way out of here, on the way home, we'd look at it going by. But I saw it in my living room on television. I came in from the office that day. I've had the news on Walter Cronkite. They set that contraption down on that Mars 220 million miles away. They drove it out there from Nassau in Houston. Not a human being in it. They drove it across 220 million miles of space, set it down a few feet of where they wanted it to, and now it's taking pictures and sending three-dimension color pictures of that planet back to Earth. I sat in my living room, heart beating so fast, I couldn't breathe. I said to my wife, can you believe such a thing? Can you believe such a thing? I watched them, the testing, whether there's life up there. They had inside of that contraption a laboratory no bigger than a shoebox, cost $50 million. Amen. $50 million. From that Nassau, they talked to that machine. They said, want you to reach outside, get some of that soil, and put it in that little laboratory. See if there's any life up there. That machine reached out after some struggle and picked up some of the soil off of Mars, shook it up in that little laboratory, wired back and said, there's no worms up here. Nothing alive up here. Amen. Man did that. God didn't do that, mister. Man did that with the brain that God gave him. Of course God gave him the brain, but God didn't put that contraption on Mars. Man did it. Because man could conceive it, man could do it. Oh, listen. You see, the ability of that. The ability of that. But the same thing is true in the spiritual realm. God has given us of His Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost is His mind. And if we learn to think with that mind, then the ability of God becomes our ability, because the ability is in the mind. I came in one Saturday, and my oldest grandson, 15 now, but he's a sports boy. Amen. He had that ABC Wide World of Sports, and they had this fine young man about 6'6" with a basketball. He'd flip that basketball, whether it's 30 foot away or jumping up and dropping it through. He's just putting it through that hoop as if that hoop was a mile wide. Just throwing it through, hardly ever miss it. Out there demonstrating his ability with that hoop. And I said to my grandson, I said, I can throw that ball 30 feet, but I can't put it in that hoop like he does. I said, you know the reason why? Because the ability is not in the ability to throw it, but it's in the ability of the mind. The mind must compute the distance and the strength it's going to take and the trajectory of that ball in a split second as that man throws it for that to be. That's the reason when they lose their concentration, they lose the ball game every time. It's true in every sport. It's true with that organ. I've sat up there behind Renee, and I watch her as Bill Marsh leads that singing. There's two keyboards on that organ. She's got one hand on one hand on the other, running up and down while her foot's down on the bottom, running this way, and all the while watching her husband lead the singing. Watch her husband lead the singing. I said, I've got as good a fingers as Renee's got. I don't have no arthritis, no rheumatism. Amen. I have as good a feet as she's got. Not near as pretty as she is. But I can beat on those boards. I could beat them till they couldn't get up. But I can't play that organ. Because the ability is not in her hands. It's in her mind. But if you took her brain, put it in my head, then my fingers and my feet could play that organ. And I'll tell you, if you put God's mind in the church, then God's people can do what God does. If He cast out devils, we can cast out devils. If He healed the sick, we can heal the sick, because with His mind comes His ability. With His mind comes His ability. Oh, that's a truth that needs to grip the church strong today. This mind is the ability of God. Also, The mind shapes the features. You know that to be a truth. The mind shapes the features. You take two people, a man and a woman. They really love each other. They live together. They think alike. Pretty soon they look like brothers and sisters. Yes, sir. That's a fact of life, folks. The psychiatrist can tell something about your character by your features, because your mind. You take a very obstinate fellow, they can tell it by his forehead. The Bible talks about a harlot's forehead. Amen. We betray ourselves by our looks, about our thinking. Amen. Our thinking, see, because the mind shapes the feature. You let a person lose their mind, and you don't see them for 2 years after they've gone insane, and you wouldn't recognize that person. Isn't that right? The eyes will recede. The personality recedes on the inside. And when you see them, they're twisted something of what they used to be. Because that mind shapes the features. As we begin to think like God, we take on God's look. That is spiritually. Amen. The Holy Ghost in us will shape the features of the individual. I've saw some of the hardest men get saved, and in a week time, you couldn't recognize who they were. Out of those eyes was a look of gentleness that used to be hard and mean and cruel, because God's mind in there began to reshape those features. That's how, ladies and gentlemen, that one day we're awake in His likeness, because we have His mind. We think like He thinks. One day we'll wake just like Him. You know, John was closer to Jesus than any other of the apostles. He's always leaning on his breast. Isn't that right, Pastor? John went to heaven, got caught up to heaven. That's, I believe, a type of the rapture, but he got to heaven in that fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. And you get over there about the 19th chapter, and John's up there in that world, mister, and he meets a man on the street and falls down, begins to worship him. John just falls down, begins to worship him. I said, how in the world can that be?
Here's John, leaned on the breast of Jesus, closer to him than anybody else. He's the one that Jesus gave charge of his mother when he was crucified. Now he's up here worshiping somebody else. He don't even know who Jesus is. And I dismissed it. I said, well, I've been in some of them Holy Ghost meetings. I couldn't told you my own name. Glory of God gets so real, brother. Amen. Wouldn't know where I was at. I said, you put a man in the world where you don't even need a light bulb. The Lamb's the light. Where never was a cockroach or a cobweb. I said, I can understand. He be beside himself. He just don't know. But you move on over to the 21st chapter, and he's back on his knees again. I mean, back on his knees again. The man says to him, man, I'm a man like you are. Get up from here. The second time in three chapters, and then it dawned on me. That church is home, and it looks so much like Jesus that John can't tell the difference. Thank God it's thought his thoughts, walked his way, and become like him. The ability is in that mind. The ability is in him. Oh, to think his thoughts, church. We played with a thing called the Holy Ghost. We are so interested in things of the world, and we tried to take the Holy Ghost and use it instead of let it use us in thinking the thoughts of God, and we missed it all together. I said we missed it all together. There is the carnal mind has achieved a lot of things. The latent power of that soul is frightening. You look at those trucks, that generator, the computer. My God, that's a frightening tool. Amen. The knowledge it stores, the ability to do, but yet it's a product of a human brain. It's a product, not of God, but a human brain built that thing and continually improves that thing to where it's almost come to a point that it can feel like a human being. But it was built by man. But with all, listen to me, with all of the ability of that mind, there's a limitation to it. There's a limitation. In the Bible, the Bible says they brought those to Jesus that were maimed, and he healed them. Now, you don't have to look far to know what maimed means. He said to a fella, it's better you cut your hand off if it offends you. It's better to go to heaven maimed than to hell with all your members. Now, if maimed in one place means I've lost a limb, it means the same thing in another place. They brought folks to Jesus, didn't have a leg, and he put a leg on them. Amen. They brought folks to Jesus, didn't have a hand, and he put a hand on them. Amen. Because that is the ability of God. Now, the human mind can't think that. That's the reason we don't see them kind of miracles, because it is impossible for the carnal mind to imagine a new leg growing on a human being. But that's no problem with the Holy Ghost. If we think with the mind of God, there'll be miracles in the church that'll startle the world. You see, the limited ability of that carnal mind is there. And a Methodist lady got saved. Of course, it could have been a Pentecostal. A lot of them ain't saved either. But she's just never been saved, been a Methodist all her life. And she got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and never saw anybody. She read the Bible through every 2 months, just continually reading that Bible. Had a brother work for the railroad in Memphis, fell off, got a leg cut off. She went and sat in the hospital with him, then come back home, got in church on a Wednesday night. When I rose to start the service, she said, Pastor, I want you to pray with me, you and this church, that God will put a leg back on my brother. You could almost hear the church snicker. Yeah, that's right. Oh, put a leg on him. You see, you tell what mind is operating. Paul said, why do you think it's strange God raised the dead? Why do you think it's strange God put a leg on this body? I read where a doctor saved. Asked the question, you believe in miracles? He said, certainly I believe in miracles. So I'm not talking about being born again. I'm talking about you believe man lost his hand. He could get a new hand. He said, let me tell you something, sir. The genetic code that put the hand on the end of that arm in the first place still in that bloodstream. And all it needs is the command of a man of faith, and a hand will grow on the end of that arm. I'm telling you, operating with the mind of God, amen, we have the ability of God. And what we can't conceive becomes conceivable and workable when we think the thoughts of God Almighty. But we must change minds. We're limited to the carnal. We can promote. We can advertise. We can draw crowds. But I wonder when it's all over with. When the rapture cuts down our bloated statistics, I wonder if we'll recognize our church. We got a lot of folks in don't know God. We've sold this thing at cut-rate prices. And you just wonder. You just really wonder. But listen, this ability. One morning, 4:30, phone rang. I picked up the phone, a lady on the line. Is this Pastor Clendenin? Yes, I am. Are you the one on television in Austin, Texas? I said, yes, ma'am. Every Sunday morning, we're there on Channel 7. You're the one I want to talk to. I've been listening to you. I said, I've been listening to what you said. You said God do anything. Oh, yes, ma'am. You got to be careful what you say. Some folks take you literally. Yes, ma'am. That's me. Well, she said, I want you to pray for my son, Raymond. I said, I've heard you say, God do anything. And said, I want you to pray for my son, Raymond. I said, yes, ma'am. What's the matter with your son, Raymond? He's dead. Dead? Look, I ain't even had a cup of coffee, man. It's 4:30 in the morning. Here's a phone ringing. She want me to pray for the dead. I said, what do you want me to pray? Her name was Bertha Foster. I said, what do you want me to pray, Bertha? I want you to pray that he'll give me that boy back. I'm a widow woman. That boy is the only boy I've got, 18 years old. And said, now he's died. I need him. You said God could do anything. Now I want you to pray, God, give me that boy back. Well, you know, I'm thinking about her. They're alone with a boy. He was 18 years old. I'm thinking of laying there at 4:30 in the morning. A widow woman with a dead boy, the corpse there, by herself. I said, Bertha, why don't you get the neighbors? She said, she's alone. Why don't you get the neighbors to come over there? What I want with the neighbors, she said, they don't believe anything. You're the one that said God can do anything. They like me. They belong to Lutheran Church. They don't believe anything like this. Amen. What I want with them? Oh, I said, Bertha, I wasn't thinking about them believing God for raising them from the dead. I was just thinking you being alone there with a corpse. Well, there ain't no corpse here. I said, where is he at? She said, he's in the graveyard. I'm almost afraid to ask that next question. Oh, I said, I don't know whether I ought to ask you this or not. But I went in and asked her, I said, how long has he been dead? She said, 18 months. 18 months. And she wants me to pray him back. He's been gone 18 months. Listen, it's 4:30, a quarter to five now. And she's wanting me to pray a boy out of a grave. I've been there for 18 months. I said, Bertha, was he a Christian? Yes, he's a Christian. I'm about to preach her a little sermon on the resurrection. Before I could say a word, there's another voice cut in from out here. He said to me, preacher, be careful what you say to her. Don't you belittle me. Listen to it. God said, don't you belittle me. She ain't asking you to raise him. She's asking you to pray. Now do what she said. Don't you belittle me. Don't you say one word to that woman that'll lead her to believe that I can't raise that boy from the dead. If I want him there, I can put him at the breakfast table this morning. And let me remind you, preacher, that when my boy was raised from the dead, men that had been dead 1,000 years walked the streets of Jerusalem. I don't have any trouble with the dead. Don't you belittle me. You pray your little prayer. That's all she asked you to do. You pray. And if a boy is raised, I raise him. I can put him at the breakfast table if I want to. Oh, I prayed that morning. Oh, God, I said, give her Raymond back. Bring him back from that grave. That's 4 years ago. I've been praying for 4 years. 5.5 years he's dead. An average of at least once a week she calls. Let's pray for Raymond. I need that boy, Brother Clendenin. I'm a widow woman. I need that boy. I've never asked another question. I've been a-praying. I pray, God, give her Raymond back. Give her Raymond back. Give her Raymond back. He said, don't you belittle me. I don't have any trouble with it. That you have trouble with that. If I want him up, I'll get him up. I'll just pray, pray. We were in Oxon Hill, Maryland with this tent. Not this very tent, but we were there in a tent. Bob and I are staying down in a hotel in Virginia. I got there, preached the first day service, went to the hotel to call my wife when I got there to tell her where I was, give her the phone number, let her know where I was. First thing she did when she answered the phone, we have on that phone that two lines, you know, while you're talking to somebody, the thing will buzz again. Never would buy that again, drive you crazy. Amen. And you have to hang them up, hold them on hold, and talk to the other. Well, when I called, that's what happened. I didn't know that. You don't know that on your end. All you can hear is the phone ringing. And when she said hello, I said, hello, honey. And she said, Bertha just called. And the way she said it, I said, my God, Raymond's back. You know, the way she said it. I said, Raymond's back. She said, oh, no, I just mean she's on the other line. But you know, when I hung that up, I got to thinking, I'm getting to expect that boy to get back. I tell you, I believe one of these days, Bertha's going to call. She's going to say, Brother Clendenin, Raymond got back this morning. Thank God. I said, my God, that's something. Let me tell you something, folks. If God wants Raymond back, 5 1/2, 10 1/2, 1,000 years, they walked that street. Been in that grave. Let me tell you something. Moses never crossed that river when they did the first time. God said, you can't go over. No, no, you can't go over. You disobeyed me. You can't go over. Get on up the Pisgah and die. But 1,500 years later, he pops up on the Mount of Transfiguration and talked to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, folks, with God's mind, everything is possible. That's the reason he give us his Holy Ghost. Oh, we lay awake at night trying to scheme up what to ask him to do, tell him to do. But if we'd come before that altar, wait before God until that Holy Ghost began to breathe us, the thinking of God, this is where confession works. Amen. If I think his thoughts and have enough faith to speak what he spoke to me, I'll see the miracle of God. Listen, the ability is in the mind. Are you listening to me? God has given you his mind in the person of the Holy Ghost, and he's saying to you, he's saying to me, let this be your mind. Wait on me. Get that other one out of gear. They say that the human being uses less than 6% of the brain that he's given him. Think about it. You and I, the power of that brain, what we're able to do with 6% of the brain. I said the church uses maybe 1% of 100% of 1% of the brain that God has given us of the Holy Ghost. If we had just let the mind of God, 6% of it, operate in the church, we would startle Omaha while we're under this tent. We would see God move, and the attraction of the church is in God made real through it. You can attract them with that high-powered advertising, but when it's all over, there's nothing there. The only attraction is Christ crucified, rose, made real through a church that has God's mind. Thank God, the devil put him, crucified him. A corn of wheat fell in the ground and died. And it ain't but a few days later, there's 1,000 Jesuses on the streets, raising dead folks at the gate, healing the sick, raising the dead, healing the cripple, marching across an empire, toppling it. Amen. The corn of wheat fell in the ground and died. Our business is to make Jesus real. The Bible said we're the body of Christ. What is a body? It's a vehicle through which your personality is expressed. If we're the body of Christ, we should express Christ. I was in the city of Capernaum. Had quite a crowd with me. City where Jesus spent a lot of his time. Down there was a crossroads of the world. Three major civilizations, Egypt, Babylon, and Syria, crossed that point. He was there to testify along that road to work his miracles. The Bible said that if all the miracles that were worked in Capernaum had been worked in Sodom, it would have repented. It would have repented. And I was there, and I was talking to that people. I come from Beaumont, Texas, 118,000 people, probably 150 churches, so-called. 150 churches. I don't know how many is in Omaha, but I can tell you there's a lot of them. A lot of them in Omaha. And I said to those people, I said, when Jesus was in this city, There was part of this city over plotting how to kill him. The other part thronging him. Nobody was indifferent. Nobody was indifferent. Amen. If Jesus came personally and put a footprint on this parking lot, every freeway in and out of Omaha would be blocked for hundreds of miles, people trying to get here. Is that right? They came. They pressed on him. He had to get in a boat to preach because of the press of the people. Why isn't it that way today? I'll tell you, if we as a church will let that be our mind, operate as he operated, then the press would be on this place. Let me tell you, they'd beat on our doors. They'd knock them down. They'd be pressing us like they pressed him. There'd be those that want to kill us and those that want to join us simply because we made him alive in the resurrection of reality. Oh, the first time God ever dealt with me about this message, the first time it ever dawned on me what happened to me, that this ability in us, that we think his thoughts, then his work is done through us. No other way, folks. Amen. The Holy Ghost, God is everywhere. But the only power to perform in Omaha, Nebraska, is the power that's in the people of God. We are the repository of the manifold wisdom of God. We're the vehicle of expression. If they hear, they'll hear through us. How can they hear without a preacher? Amen. We are the vehicle. If God heals, he'll heal through us. If God saves, he'll save through us. The church is the vehicle of expression. And if that vehicle, builded together for a habitation of God by the Spirit, begins to let that Spirit be God's mind in her, then the attraction of that church will not be our syncopated singers and syncopated beat of a music. It won't be our ability to promote, but it'll be the power of a living God. Amen. Men attracted by the fact that Jesus is alive. First time he dealt with me, I was riding down the freeway, Interstate 10. I live about 120 miles from Lafayette, Louisiana, and I had a rally that night, Saturday night, in Louisiana. We were driving down, me and my lady. She'd gone to sleep on me. Driving down that freeway, she just rocked that seat back and went to sleep. I was driving down, and I began to think on this thought of the mind of God in people like you and me. Not princes, not kings, but just folks of the street. I mean common everyday folks. This mind in us and what it had accomplished. Now, driving down that Interstate 10, I picked that mind up at the Red Sea, where God had maneuvered Israel in between the mountains, and behind them is the oncoming horde of Pharaoh's army, and in front of them is the uncrossable barrier of the Red Sea, caught between the jaws of death. They're there. It's all over with. I said it's all over with. As far as man is concerned, all of them fell down, began to accuse Moses, and he fell down, wants to accuse God. He's a crying out, what are we doing here? Looks like it's over. And God said to him, I don't believe he heard a voice. I believe he thought a thought, laying there crying. Amen. He couldn't hear much because he's making so much racket. But a thought came into him, get up and stretch your rod over that sea. Amen. Get up. God's mind come into action. And a man called Moses, and he stood up and stretched that rod out across that sea, and the Bible said the waters parted. I saw Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments one night after church. Amen. He had a magnificent picture of those waters rolled up, and it looked like a path about as wide as these tent, about like this tent. And the people were walking through. And I lived for a long time, brother, with the thought that there's about a 100-yard gap in that Red Sea till I was in South Carolina, and I read where they all passed through in one night. They all passed through in one night. I roughly computed that. And for 3 million people to pass through that sea in one night, they had to go through at least 5,000 abreast. There's a hole in it at least 2 miles wide. God blew a hole at least from here to downtown Omaha. My God, you talking about power. When God talked about power in the Old Testament, it talked about a God that rolled back the waters of the Red Sea. when you get to the New Testament, the God that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the reason I don't have much time for that dynamite theory. There wasn't no racket in that tomb that morning. But there's a power exercise over death and hell and corruption. Thank God. But listen, he stood there, that mind in a man, that mind in a man, blew a hole in a sea at least 2 miles wide. Thank God, carried him across on dry ground, sweetened the waters of Meribah. You hear me? I said sweetened the waters of Meribah. And for 14,640 days, caused 640 boxcar loads of manna to fall in the right place every day. Caused a dead flint rock to follow them for 38 years, belching out 27 million gallons of water a day. Air conditioned that desert at night by heating it with a fire, cooled it with a shade in the daytime, parted the waters of Jordan, kicked down the walls of Jericho, made an axe head to swim, dead folks come alive, blind folks see, deaf folks hear, and a multitude of people be saved, all by that mind working in folks like you and I. Have mercy. What possibilities they are in this place this morning. What possibilities they are. You can go on every day as usual. You can pull a little promise out of the Bible and read it, and that's your Bible study that day. You can spend your whole day in at night, give God your leftovers with a little lay me down to sleep prayer and maybe get to heaven, I don't know. But there'll never be a demonstration of his presence until we realize the main thing is to wait on God till we can think his thoughts. And once that thought has been given, then hell is up against it. I mean, the victory is as sure as a night. If you and I would recognize this one thing, to do his work, we must be able to think his thoughts. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. That word son carries a maturity, a thought of maturity. And only those that are led by the Spirit ever reach that place. And to be led by the Spirit is to be able to be so sensitive to God that we can think the thoughts of God. And when we think them, have enough courage to say to that son, you're going to have to park there a while. To that ocean, you're going to have to come apart. To that river, we're going to walk through you. To the walls of Jericho, you're going to crumble. Thank God, to a city, we're going to have revival. Oh, hallelujah. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ. That is God's command to you, the church of the living God. Think with the Holy Ghost. And the ability of the Holy Ghost becomes your ability. The ability of the Holy Ghost becomes your ability when you think with the Holy Ghost, which is God's mind in the believer. Let's stand and worship him here this morning. Come on, folks.